Chapter 35. They went to Arthur's house in the West Country, shoved a couple of towels and stuff in a bag, and then sat down to do what every galactic hitchhiker ends up spending most of his time doing. They waited for a flying saucer to come by. "A friend of mine did this for 15 years, said Arthur one night as they sat forlornly watching the sky. "Who was that?" "Called Ford Prefect." He caught himself doing something he had never really expected to do again. He wondered where Ford Prefect was. By an extraordinary coincidence, the following day there were two reports in the paper, one concerning the most astonishing incident with the flying saucer, and the other about a series of unseemly riots in pubs. Ford Prefect turned up the day after that, looking hungover and complaining that Arthur never answered the phone. In fact, he looked extremely ill, not merely as if he had been pulled through a hedge backwards, but as if the hedge was being simultaneously pulled backwards through a combine harvester. He staggered into Arthur's sitting room, waving aside all offers of support, which was an error, because the effort of waving caused himself to lose his balance altogether, and Arthur eventually had to drag him to the sofa. "Thank you," said Ford. "Thank you very much. Have you..." he said, and fell asleep for 3 hours. "The faintest idea," he continued suddenly when he revived, "how hard it is to tap into the British phone system from the Pleiades?" "I can see that you haven't, so I'll tell you," he said, "over that very large mug of black coffee you're about to make me." He followed Arthur wobblily into the kitchen. "Stupid operators keep asking you where you're calling from, and you try and tell them Letchworth, and they say you couldn't be if you're coming in on that circuit. What are you doing?" "Making you some black coffee." "Oh." Ford seemed oddly disappointed. He looked about the place forlornly. "What's this?" he said. "Rice Krispies." "And this?" "Paprika." "I see," said Ford solemnly, and put the two items back down, one on top of the other. But that didn't seem to balance properly, so he put the other on top of the one, and that seemed to work. A little space lagged," he said. "What was I saying?" "About not phoning from Letchworth." "I wasn't. I explained this to the lady." "Bugger Letchworth," I said, "if that's your attitude. I am, in fact, calling from a sales scout ship of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation, currently on the sub-light-speed leg of a journey between the stars known to your world, though not necessarily to you, dear lady." "I said, dear lady," explained Ford Prefect, because I didn't want her to be offended by my implication that she was an ignorant cretin. "Tactful," said Arthur Dent. "Exactly," said Ford. "Tactful." He frowned. "Space lag," he said, "is very bad for sub-clauses. You'll have to assist me," he continued, "by reminding me what I was talking about." "Between the stars," said Arthur, "known to your world, though not necessarily to you, dear lady, as Pleiades Epsilon and Pleiades Zeta," concluded Ford triumphantly. "This conversation, Lark, is quite a gas, isn't it?" "Have some coffee." "Thank you, no. And the reason," I said, "why I am bothering you with it, rather than just dialing direct as I could, because we have some pretty sophisticated telecommunications equipment out here in the Pleiades, I can tell you, is that the penny-pinching son of a starbeast piloting this son of a starbeast starship insists that I call collect. Can you believe that?" "And could she?" "I don't know, she'd hung up," said Ford by this time. "So, what do you suppose," he asked fiercely, "I did next?"
"I've no idea, Ford," said Arthur.
"Pity," said Ford, "I was hoping you could remind me. I really hate those guys, you know. They really are the creeps of the cosmos, buzzing around the celestial infinite with their junky little machines that never work properly, or when they do, perform functions that no sane man would require of them. And," he added savagely, "go beep to tell you when they'd done it." This was perfectly true, and a very respectable view, widely held by right-thinking people, who are largely recognisable as being right-thinking people by the mere fact that they hold this view. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, in a moment of reasoned lucidity, which is almost unique amongst its current tally of 5,975,509 pages, says of the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation products that it is very easy to be blinded to the essential uselessness of them by the sense of achievement you get from getting them to work at all. In other words, and this is the rock-solid principle on which the whole of the corporation's galaxy-wide success is founded, their fundamental design flaws are completely hidden by their superficial design flaws. "And this guy," ranted Ford, "was on a drive to sell more of them. His 5-year mission to seek out and explore strange new worlds and sell advanced music substitute systems to their restaurants, elevators and wine bars. Or if they didn't have restaurants, elevators and wine bars yet, to artificially accelerate their civilization growth until they bloody well did have. Where's that coffee?"
"I threw it away."
"Make some more. I've now remembered what I did next. I saved civilization as we know it. I knew it was something like that."